tonight, I want us to take a step forward again in this study. If you've got your Bible there, we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 32. Tonight, I'd like to look at our sense of touch. Our sense of touch. The Bible has much to say about our sense of touch. It always deals with one's feelings. One's feelings. For me to touch Him, He finds out how I'm feeling. But for Him to touch me, I find out how He's feeling. Much involved in the touch. He said that He has touched with the feelings. When we reach out and touch Him, He finds out how we're feeling. But oh, much greater than that is for Him to touch us. We find out how He's feeling. Now, the word touch in the Bible, defined in the Old Testament Hebrew, means to lay the hand upon with a purpose in mind. He will never touch you and I that He doesn't have a purpose in mind. The New Testament Greek word touch means to fasten to another in order to manipulate, lead, seize, or search. He will oftentimes touch you and I to seize us, manipulate us, turn us, or to examine us. Touched. I'm glad tonight that there is a possibility that we can touch Him. But all the greater possibility is that He could come by here tonight and touch you. As we begin to look at this study tonight, beginning in Genesis chapter 32, I want us to look first of all tonight at the essential of His touch. It is very essential tonight that you be able to look back in your spiritual history and be able to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that at some time or another, God has touched you. It is essential. If He has touched you, we find in the life of Jacob that it will be a touch of honesty. A touch of honesty. The Bible says in chapter number 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. Most believe this is a Christophany, a manifested appearance of Christ in bodily form. He says, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched. You know, if you'd see that word or not, I thought I'd underline it. You sort of highlight it. Hollow of his thigh. The hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. He said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I'll not let thee go except thou bless me. He said unto him, what is thy name? Surely if this is Christ, surely he knows who he's wrestling with. Why in the world would he ask him what his name was? He's not asking him what his name is so he can find out what his name is. Oh, no. He's asking him his name so Jacob can find out what his name is. Here, in all honesty, he says, what is thy name? And he said, my name is liar. My name is supplanter. My name is struggler. He said, I've been struggling all my life to get what I've already got. Touched. God touches you tonight, you'll call some things up.
Yes, sir.
It'll be a move of honesty. If you've got your Bible there, the essential of His touch. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. As we move towards that text, not only this essential of His touch will involve being touched with honesty, but it will involve, I find a little verse, I just quote it to you, in the book of 1 Samuel. It would involve a touch of our hearts. The Bible said that David assembled a band of men around him whom the Lord had touched their hearts. Not only will there be a touch of honesty, but there will be a touch of your heart. I hear people all the time saying, "Won't you open your heart's door and invite the Lord in?" That's silly. How come? You can't open your heart's door and invite God in. How come? Ain't no doorknob on your side. Ain't never been no doorknob on your side. The Bible said Lydia, in whom the Lord opened her heart. Doorknob's on his side. You don't have no doorknob on your side. You say, "I don't like that." Tell him when you get up there, put a doorknob on your side. Huh? You listening to me tonight? Oh, it is essential tonight that He touch your heart. It's not about you opening your heart. It's about Him opening your heart. I notice in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 7, not only is there the touch of honesty and the touch in the heart is essential, but there will be a touch in your hearing, touch in your hearing. Luke chapter number 7, this is the story of the widow's son of Nain. The Bible said in verse 13, "And when the Lord saw her," she's a widow, she's taking her only son out to bury him, "He had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." You imagine a woman's broken, lost her husband, fixing to go out to the graveyard and bury her son. This Jewish fella comes along and said, "Quit crying." Whoa. Quit crying. The Bible says, and he came and touched, put his hand on the bier, that slab they had him laying on. They that bare him stood still, and he said, he's talking to him, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." He that was dead sat up and began to speak. You don't have to agree with me tonight. You can be wrong if you want to. He touched that bier and spoke to him. I believe he had ears to hear before his heart ever started beating again. Are you listening to me tonight? All this thing's not about what you and I can do. It is essential tonight that He touch us with honesty, that He touch us in our heart, and that He touch our hearing tonight. It's all about not you touching Him. It's all about Him touching you. It's not about Him finding out how you feel. It's about you and I finding out about how He feels. I like that, don't you? That helps me. Would you go further in our study tonight? If you've got your Bible there, Job chapter number 19. Not only would I want to mention the essentials of His touch, but I would like to mention the evidences of His touch. The evidence of His touch. Just because you say God's touched you, I ain't got to believe you. Baptist church is full of people that say they've had some kind of touch, got warm feelings all over and just tingling their toes and all that. Oh, no, that's not the evidence. You've got to prove you've been touched. Going to be some evidence if God's touched you. I notice in Job chapter number 19, verse number 21, there'll be evidence that is insightful. Evidence that is insightful. He says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends. For the hand of God hath touched me. Job said, God touched me. Prove it. Prove it. I tell you, bud, did he ever more prove it? He says in verse number 25, for I know if God has touched you, you will have some insight into some things that nobody else has. Job, what you know? He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Time out! Hold on! Redeemer liveth. Those are two poles apart. One means that he died to make a payment. That's the word Redeemer. The other one is that he's alive forevermore. Gracious. Job's living right after Adam. He's looking down through time about 3,000 years. And after he gets this touch, he said, my, I saw him paying the price and he's alive again. He'll see some things you never seen before. He wouldn't, if Job was here tonight, he wouldn't sit all sawed up, never wave his hand, never shout, never say amen. He said, no, God touched me. I'd see some things. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said in that he shall stand at the latter day. Do you know old Job has done looked on past you? He didn't even stop to take a look at you. He didn't think you's that important. He said, I saw him die. He said, I saw him get up out of the grave. And he said, I saw him come back and plant his feet upon the earth again. Stand upon the earth. Job, how in the world did you see all of that? He touched me. Gave me some insight into some things. He said he'll stand upon the earth in the latter day. Verse 26, and though after my skins worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh, time out, hold on. Job's done put his body in the grave. He's done seen the maggots eat the skin off of his bones, and the bones go back to dust. And he said, I saw myself getting back in that recreated body. And he said, I shall see God again. Whoa, I tell you, Job's done got one more touch. He says here that though I be a stranger here, he said, I'll not be a stranger over there. Though I be alone here and don't know nobody, nobody don't know me, they'll know me over there because I've been touched. I'm glad today that God has touched me. Well, how do you know it? Because I know some things. I got some insight into some things. But I notice in the scripture, if you've got your Bible there, Psalms 144, not only will there be the evidence that is insightful, and I tell you, we're talking about an old boy had a doctor's degree in tragedy. I don't know what you're going through tonight. I know a lot of us are going through all kind of different things. You can't match Job's. You ain't got 10 kids buried up on the hillside, do you? You don't have a little old piece of a pot and trying to scrape pus out of all the things on your body. Surely ain't got a wife that says, cuss God and die. Old Job said, you speak as one of the foolish women. Indication there's more than one of them. Huh? You got all that going on, do you? Oh, but Job did not look at all of what he was going through. Job was looking at that touch. Oh, I tell you, it matters not what you and I are going through. If we know God's got his hand on us, he's touching us. Not only is there the evidence that is in sight, but in Psalms 144, there is the evidence that is inspirational. Inspirational. He says in Psalms 144, bow the heavens, O Lord. I've always been interested in that phrase. How high is God up there? David said he'd have to bow down to look in the heavens. Whoa, man, he's high up there. I mean, if you got to do this to look into the heavens, bow the heavens, come down. What you want him to do? Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. I was thinking about that little word touch there. The little word touch there means to highlight or to underline or to put in italics. It's sort of our word of taking that cursor, mashing that button down, and just sliding it along and highlighting everything. David said if God comes down to the mountains, he said he'll just come across the mountains and highlight them and they'll start smoking. Huh? You riding around here and you see the mountain smoking one morning, just think about it. Huh? I guarantee you ain't no way you can ride down the road and say, and that's nice. And huh? It is evidence tonight that is inspirational. You'll probably have to take your hands off of the steering wheel and go to waving them. Huh? Ought to be some evidence that God's touched you. Got your Bible there. We're talking about the evidence. Now, it's essential now God touch you. There's got to be some evidences that he's touched you. Isaiah chapter number 6. There will be evidences that is incredible. Evidences that is incredible. In chapters 1 through 5 of Isaiah, Isaiah with that old bony finger of the prophet has pointed it at everybody and says, woe is him! Woe is them! Woe is them old sinners! Isaiah's asset is his mouth. That's how he does his job, preaches. It's his asset. It's his greatest commodity. But watch in chapter 6, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. Verse 5, he said, then said I, woe is me. The Bible said in verse 6, then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my... Time out! Hold on! He laid it on what? My greatest asset. God is touching him and telling him what he feels about it. He said, Isaiah, he said, I think that which you think is your greatest gain, he said, I think it's your greatest loss. He said, that which you think's your greatest asset, he said, I think it's your greatest liability. He said, I ain't impressed with your preaching at all. I ain't impressed with your mouth at all. The Bible said he laid that live coal upon his mouth. And he said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. And he said, and also I heard the voice of the Lord. Ain't no need of Isaiah talking no more. Oh, God do the talking there. Huh? I'm talking about if God has touched you, there'll be evidences that is incredible. Those things that you've always felt like was your greatest security, your greatest gains, if God touches you, you'll see that they are your liabilities. They're your greatest losses. You'll want His touch more than all the things that you can get in this world. Don't take that touch away from me. Take everything I got. But don't take that touch. Got to have that touch. There's evidences of that. See, there's some of you sitting right here tonight. You'd rather have your stuff than that touch. Of course, I do realize you ain't got nothing to compare it to. Because if you ain't never been touched, you ain't got nothing to figure out that you've lost. But oh, hon, if you've ever been touched, and you that have been touched tonight, I tell you, you ought to be able to give anything to have that touch. You still with me? You ain't gone nowhere, have you? Mark's Gospel, chapter number 3. Not only do I see the essential of His touch. Oh, as the songwriter said, He touched me. Oh, He touched me. Oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. For now I know. How you know it? Touched me. The evidences of it. Mark chapter number 3. I notice there is the encompassing of His touch. The encompassing of His touch. Mark chapter 3, verse number 10. The Bible said, for He had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon Him for to touch Him. I was interested in that little word, pressed. The little word literally means to crowd Him out. Crowd Him out. The little word has one of the root meanings to seize with violence. Seize with violence. Wouldn't be something tonight, some of you getting this altar tonight. Seize Him with violence. You've got to touch me. That's what old Jacob said. He said, I'm here to stay, bud. I ain't letting you go till you touch me. Huh? He like dead weight. That thigh's out of joint. He can't even hardly move. He's just hanging on for dear life. Huh? Touch me. I ain't going nowhere. Huh? Oh. That little word, press, means to lay upon another until. Lay upon another until. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight some of you just come and lay on God until. Until what? Until He touches you. Huh? I ain't leaving here till you touch me. It's essential that I have it. I need the evidence. I was noticing in Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1, there was a sinful leopard that pressed in for a touch. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1, and verse number 40. And there came a leper to Him, beseeching Him, kneeling down to Him, saying unto Him, if thou, time out, hold on. If thou what? Wilt. This leopard is calling Jesus' will into account. He ain't saying nothing about His free will. He ain't talking about His choice. He said, God, if it be Your choice, if it be Your will, He says in our text, in verse number 40, he says, kneeling down and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Yes, yes. Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand and, time out, hold on, don't touch him, Jesus, you'll get it.
Oh my, listen.
He touched him and he still didn't get it.
Yes.
Oh, I love that, don't you? He reached out. And he touched him, and he said unto him, I will be thou clean. Oh, I tell you, a sinful leopard pressed in. I tell you, there's some leopards here tonight. There's some old lost sinners here tonight. Why don't you get in this altar tonight and say, Lord, if it be thy will, would you touch me? Oh, and take my sin away. Oh, pressed into him. I was noticing in Matthew's gospel, chapter number 9, not only was there a sinful leopard that pressed in for a touch, but in Matthew chapter number 9, there's a sad lady pressed in. She wanted to get her a touch. Chapter number 9, verse 20, and behold, a woman which had a disease with an issue of blood 12 years. Bible said she had sought the physician. She had spent all that she had. She is none the better. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I but touch his garments, I shall be made whole. Jesus turned about and said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole 3 days later. Didn't even say that in the Living Bible, does it? He said at that very hour, that very moment, oh, I don't know, maybe you're in a sad situation tonight. You're in a sinful situation. Preacher, what in the world can I do? Well, they sung about it, that third song. Sound like you ought to press into him. Press into him. Try to crowd him out. Seize on to him. I'm going to hold on to you touch me. I ain't going nowhere. Huh? Oh, I was noticing in Luke's gospel. You got your Bibles there. Luke chapter number 18. Not only did a sinful leper press in for a touch, sad lady pressed in for a touch, but the small little ones pressed in for a touch. Well, what in the world they matter? They ain't that important. He thought they were. He thought they were. Verse 15, and they brought unto him also the infants, that he would touch them. Isn't that what he did tonight? He lifted up his baby. Said, y'all help me. Y'all help me lift my son up. He needs a touch. Huh? Oh, brought the infants there, they might touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus called unto them and said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid it not, for such is the kingdom of God. Oh, sinful leopard pressed in. Oh, I don't know what your need is tonight. Maybe it's a need of forgiveness for sin tonight. Press into him. Maybe you're in a sad situation. Press into him. You say, preacher, this is a simple thing. It ain't even worth bringing up. Press it into him.
Yes, yes, yes.
He loves to be acknowledged tonight. You never can tell. He might come along and highlight it and get it to smoking for you. Huh? I love that. Last little thought and I'm done. Book of Zechariah, chapter number 2. Book of Zechariah, chapter number 2. You can find the book of Haggai, take a right. Find the book of Malachi, take a left. Zechariah, chapter number 2. Not only do I see the essentials of his essential that he touched you. The evidences, there ought to be evidences that he's touched you. The encompassing of his touch. Just one touch won't do you. You'll need multiple touches during your life. You keep coming back. I got to have a touch, Lord. I got to have a touch. But I notice in chapter 2 of Zechariah, the excellency of his touch. What's to be gained if he was to touch us? The Bible says in verse number 8, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations, which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you, toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them. They shall be a spoil to their servants. Ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion. For lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." I know this excellency of his touch. There is an excellent position to be held. If he has touched you, it is because you are the apple of his eye. That round center ball. Lean someone back sometimes and look right into that ball. You will see yourself. It is a mirror. He said, "I have fixed you on my eyeball." Matter of fact, he's been about convinced me I'm the only child he's got. Huh? That's the way he treats me. Just treats me like that I'm the only one he's looking after. I have the excellency of that position that I am the apple of his eye. But there is an excellent promise made in verse number 9. He said, "For behold, those that touch you, those that fool with you," he says here, "I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall become a spoil." He said, if they fool with you and you're the apple of my eye, he said, "I'll turn the cursor on." And he said, "They will stink when I get done." I love that, don't you? Don't fool with me. He'll highlight you for sure. Huh? You go home cussing me something I say, you better watch out. Spoil you. Oh, I'm talking about there's an excellent position to be held. There's an excellent promise made. But there is an excellent presence sensed. He said, "Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee." He said, if you're the apple of my eye, he said, "I'm going to come and dwell right where you're dwelling. I'm going to be right there with you." Oh, I tell you, what's to be gained by him touching me? Oh, I tell you, there's much to be gained by him touching me. I was thinking again today, there are four major areas in the body that are the most sensitive places in the body. There is the greatest cluster of feelings there, sensitive nerves. One is the fingertips. Fingertips. There's a great cluster of nerve endings there. One is the end of your nose. Very sensitive. The other one is the tip of your tongue. Very sensitive. The fourth one is the middle of your back, right dead center, upper part of the back. There's a great cluster of nerve endings there. Oh, I got to thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if God would to come and leave his fingerprints on you, that area of him that is the most sensitive, that he would leave his DNA on you, he'd leave his fingerprints on you. I was thinking about Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if he was to come and stick his nose in your business? Get your nose out of my business. That's what we tell people sometimes. I tell you, I wish he'd come and stick his nose in my business. Huh? Oh, I was thinking about the tip of that tongue. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if my name was to roll off of the tip of his tongue? And he'd speak a word just to me. I don't know about you, I'm interested in him leaving his DNA, sticking his nose into my business, speaking my name. But there's one thing I'm not interested in. I'm not interested in seeing his back tonight. Oh, I'm not interested in seeing his back. Oh, I'm interested tonight in him showing me his face. As the old songwriter said, shackled by the heavy burdens, neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. And now I am no longer the same. Since I met the blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it. I'm not going to wait till eternity rolls on. I want to shout it tonight. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. Now I know he touched me, made me whole. November the 1st, my daddy has been gone for 3 years. My mom and him were married 63 years when he died. My mom was a very wealthy woman. My daddy was a giver. My mom was very stingy. She's holding on to every dime she can hold on to, and she's got a bunch of dimes. I asked her not long ago what she missed most about my daddy, and she started crying. And she said, without exception, the greatest thing I miss about him is his touch. She said, I dream sometimes at night that he's in the bed with me. And she said, I wake up and I feel his hand touching me. And she said, I only awake to realize it was a dream. And then she made this statement. I'll never forget it. She calls me Thomas. She said, Thomas, remember now her state, very wealthy lady, but very tight. She said, I'd give everything I've got. She said, I'd empty my bank accounts if he would touch me one more time. I was wondering tonight, what would you give if he would touch you one more time? Would you give it all tonight? By the way, has he ever touched you? And if he has he touched you lately? Would you stand with us tonight?